Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And we are live. You might have saw the poster earlier today. Our friend, the PA voice of the Ottawa Senators, John Trottier, sitting down with us to talk about the Battle of Ontario for this season and a bunch of other things, of course, surrounding the Senators. John, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Well, you know, living the hockey dream, having all kinds of fun today.
Big day.
Oh, it was a fun day, man. I was on TV today. That was crazy. Talking some Maple Leafs. We're kicking ass and going, taking some names. So I want to ask you right out of the gate, the Ottawa Senators sale finally closes and now they belong to Michael Andlauer and co. What are your thoughts? How do you feel about it? What is the vibe now around Ottawa? Is it like feeling good? Footloose, fancy free.
Yeah, I think it's a it's a great vibe around the city. People are excited. I think Mr. Andlauer brings a lot to the table, both on his experience in hockey. You know, owned a portion of the Habs and owns I guess right now the Brantford Bulldogs temporarily. And I think just as my overall impressions of him is amazing. His press conference was great. It really got me fired up for the season. And I think the vibe around the city is pretty high. And I think he's going to do good things for the team.
Well, it's good to hear those things coming. You know, Ottawa for a while was not a team that was spending. It was more getting rid of players and trying to keep it cost effective. So now it seems like those days are gone. You look at some of the deals that are doled out. What are your initial thoughts? I mean, looking at this team in camp, obviously the guys are flying. You know, we'll talk about what they did to my Leafs here in a little bit. But it seems like there is a breath of fresh air around these guys, and they're flying around the ice, man. They're loving it. It looks like Ottawa might be the new destination to go to.
Yeah, I think it's a great start to training camp, a great start to the preseason. We were texting. I think I said, a win against the Leafs is a win against the Leafs, preseason or not. Back-to-back win against the Leafs is a back-to-back win against the Leafs.
That's a chef's kiss right there.
So I think it was a pretty good start to the preseason. You know, tough loss last night, but I think considering the roster that we brought over to Montreal, I think we really fared well. The boys have been entertaining to watch. They're flying out there. You know, I think the chemistry is building right off the bat with our you know, top two lines, and it's really fun to watch.
Before we get into the new guys like Tarasenko and Kubalik, I want to ask you, for as a young guy perspective, who's catching your eye right now that was someone maybe that was not on your radar, but maybe Sens fans are quickly getting excited about?
Oh, there's
on the spot.
There's a lot of players that have been standing out. You know, Tyler Cleven, I think, is going to be a future NHLer on the back end. You know, you mentioned Kubalik, but, you know, if I say young guys, I guess he doesn't count as a young guy, but as a guy coming on the roster, he's certainly really caught everybody's eye in the preseason. You know, the younger guys, you know, Timmy Stützle is a young guy, not a prospect, but he's really stepping up. You know, I arguably maybe it's a hot take, but he's a top 10 player in the league right now. He's on fire. And I think he's going to be great for years to come. I think everybody's excited. Brady, Jake Sanderson coming in on a new deal. He's been on fire. Matt Sogard, a young goalie, he played really well the other night. It's an exciting time to be a Sens fan, I think.
Well, I think things are starting to click, and you talk about Stützle. I'll agree with you. I maybe say top 15 talent right now, and I think this year he'll grow into a top 10 talent. It's just another year under his belt, and obviously putting up 90 points is not a slouchy thing to do. So I look at him and say another year of growth definitely can put him in that category. But what he did to the Leafs, torching them with those beautiful, beautiful goals. I'll call them beautiful.
The shot.
The shot. The Timmy's too shot, man. Yeah. It was just something, wow. But I look at the Ottawa Senators, and I mean, it's hard not to be excited for Sens fans because of what's there and what is coming and the way that they've got things locked up, looking to get Pinto, you know, all those guys. You want everything done. And they did what they needed to do. What is your first thoughts? Because another guy that came over was Vladimir Tarasenko, a guy that can put the puck in the net. And if he's motivated and healthy, that is a very lethal option for the Ottawa Senators. What are your first thoughts here of Tarasenko?
I love it. I was, just as a fan of hockey, I was excited. You know, Vladimir Tarasenko is Vladimir Tarasenko. I think anybody would want them on their team. And just the impact that he's made, you know, just Brady and these guys that grew up idolizing Tarasenko, and now they're playing with him. That's just another spark to ignite the guys. And I think he's fit well. He's fit well so far. And I think his skill set is just going to come help the team.
Now, the other one was DeBrincat, obviously a guy that Ottawa Senators fans really wanted to see stick around. Looked like he was going to be like a premier talent for this team. Goes to Detroit. Kubalik comes back. The package there. What did you think of the trade? And really, what did you think of DeBrincat kind of wanting out of Ottawa when it seems, as we're looking at right now, Ottawa was on this upswing that you would want to be a part of as a player?
You know what? You can't force anybody to want to be part of the team. And if you didn't want to be part of the team, you know, I think we made the trade. We had to make the trade, but I think we really got a good return. And like I said earlier, Kubalik's been really impressive so far. If he can put up like his numbers that he had in Chicago, I think we're gonna be on the right track. But I think, Timmy said it best. We want people that want to play in Ottawa. We want people on the team that are gonna commit to the team. Look at the young core that signed on long term. We have the great pieces around it, and I think if the chemistry is there, the guys are gonna be playing together. If you didn't want to be there, you didn't want to be there. Of course, it's a loss, but you know, I think it could be a gain on the other hand. If his heart wasn't there, then we want guys that their hearts are there. And like I said, I think Kubalik's going to be a great addition to the team.
No, he looks fired up and ready to go. And you're right. If you got guys on your team that really are unhappy there or don't really want to play there or have their heart set somewhere else to play when they're done, you know, basically their tour of duty, so to speak, you know, then get them out the door, get something back in return and move on, and which is what the Senators did, and move on this summer. I mean, they've brought in a lot of pieces to make this work. And I look at the goaltending. That was something we talked about a lot last year. You know, Forsberg going down with the injuries on the knees was not a good thing. But then you look at the fact they go and get Jonas Korpisalo, a guy that if he's on and dialed in, which he can go on tears. We've seen it with Columbus. You know, obviously LA traded for him for a reason. So I look for him and say, okay, this guy can do some damage. What do you think of the Ottawa Senators net this season? Are you more confident than you were per se when Matt Murray was traded there, Cam Talbot? It seems to be some projects along the way, and maybe third time's the charm.
It's tough to say, you know, like Matt Murray was traded. He's a Stanley Cup champion. Cam Talbot was traded to us. We picked up Cam Talbot. He's an all-star. You can never really predict. And I think Korpisalo is an amazing goalie, but and of course my confidence is high. I think we have a really good goaltending tandem. I wouldn't even say, I don't even know if we have a 1 and 2. I think we have a 1A and a 1B. Forsberg has been super reliable and super dependable behind the net. when he's healthy. Korpisalo is just as good of a goalie. And like, I think people are talking all the time, who's going to start opening night? You know, I don't know who's going to start opening night. Both are great options. Both guys behind the net in front of the net are going to be studs for us, I think. And if they can stay healthy, then I think we're going to have a pretty dangerous tandem. We have two really reliable goalies, and I think you roll with a guy who's hot. We have an amazing defense now. Our top four is another hot take, might be the really, you know, top 10, top four in the league, if you want to kind of classify it that way. So having obviously good defense is going to help out the goaltending, facing less shots and whatnot. So I'm fairly confident in our goalies. And even if an unfortunate situation that one of those guys go down, we have Mads Sogard, who's a phone call away. And I think even he's a guy that I wouldn't mind in that any day.
No.
So, you know, three goalies on our team that are amazing goalies. So I think we're looking good by it in front of the net, sorry.
Yeah, no, it's a different situation than years past, obviously, with the uncertainty hanging over the net situation. Now you have three options you can turn to. I want to see Jonas Korpisalo run with it, but I really want to see Forsberg come back and dominate the net again and really maybe take a stranglehold on it. But yeah, I mean,
he played really well in the preseason in that game he did the other day. So
he looked really good. And the thing is, he's rebounding back for that injury as well. So that should help him as he goes, get healthy, get rolling, get games in. But you sign Jonas Korpisalo to the big ticket kind of deal, which means probably he's going to get more of the lion's share as long as he's healthy and rolling, of course. I would say, you know, dollars dictate the play probably on that one. But you never know. If the hot hand is rolling, you roll with the hot hand. The Leafs did it, and everybody's done it. So hello, Jack Campbell, when he was underneath Freddie Anderson. So we've seen it here too. But speaking of doling out some money, the Ottawa Senators paying Sanderson before it became, you know, a big ticket thing like the Leafs had to do with Marner and Matthews and Nylander, they got ahead of it. They're paying for a guy before he becomes 100% the guy. And this preseason, he's looking every bit of what that guy is going to be.
Jake Sanderson. Jake Sanderson is Jake Sanderson. I don't even know if you need to say he's the guy or not. I mean, he is the guy. A couple of years from now, Jake Sanderson will be exactly that. Jake Sanderson. People will be talking about him. It'll be a household name. He's a superstar. And to lock in a guy like that long-term and show his commitment to the team, I think, you know, it's an amazing opportunity for the team. And it's great to have a player of that caliber on our back end for many years to come.
Now, many people like myself, we understand why the Senators did it. And we can, like I said, I can point to examples of why you should do that with a guy that you expect to be a bona fide, you know, probably number one, number two defenseman for this team down the road, you know, when the Chikrins and Chabots and everyone kind of move her into the twilight years, he's going to be the guy to come up next and kind of solidify the defense. But there's a lot of people out there, John, that were blown away by the fact he'd give this guy that kind of money already. And what has he done? And, you know, I want to know from your perspective, you know, I agree with you and I agree with the deal. I think it's great. And I think it's what they need. And we're seeing it this preseason yet again. But what to you solidifies the fact that he should get that contract? And why are a lot of other fan bases fans wrong with that take, saying, hey, they shouldn't have paid him this? Because I'm not a Sens fan, but I agree they should. And they did the right thing. But you know what I'm talking about. It was all out there. Like, the Sens are out to lunch.
What are they doing? You know, obviously, skeptics will say, you know, it's a risky deal, but I mean, you can argue that it's a risky deal on either side. Both parties are settled on a fair number, which I think is fair. You know, maybe Sanderson could have got paid a bit more if he waited until next year, or maybe he wouldn't have, or maybe, you know, with the cap going up, more cap space, more salary. But it's really, it's hard to tell. You want to lock up your players and you want to give them the term, which is a kind of a fair term. It's a maximum term, fair dollars. And I think it could pay off for both the team and the player. You know, with the cap going up, we're going to have more money to spend on other players, which only make our team better. I think for Sanderson, his commitment to show, you know, right off the bat, he's willing to commit to 8 years, I think shows a lot about the player. And the team giving him the money. Well, like I said earlier, Jake Sanderson's Jake Sanderson. I think the Sens are are betting that he's going to be the player. And I don't even know if you need to bet on it, because you've seen it. Just you've seen how he's played and the scouting process. They've seen for years that he's going to turn into a superstar. So I think it was a no-brainer, and a lot of teams are probably more jealous because they wish that Jake Sanderson was on their team.
Well, that and the fact they wish that their team maybe would have done the same thing. You know, you look at Colorado, they did the same thing with Nathan McKinnon. Before Nathan McKinnon was Nathan McKinnon, they gave him that deal, I think it was $6.35 million, and everybody was like, this kid hasn't done anything. Why are you doing that? And by the end of that deal, it was an absolute steal, and I could see that with Sanderson. You know, with the numbers going up and the cap going up, his contract is going to look like a beauty in a couple of years because it goes up by 10 million.
Same about Stützle, right?
Yeah,
same kind of deal for him. And we have two of our superstar players that are committed long-term to the team on a, I mean, you could call it a team-friendly contract, but I mean, at the same time, it's a lot of money. It is on the high end of the spectrum. I do think that it's going to work out for both parties. And look, like Timmy said, the cap goes up, there's going to be more money to sign other players. And the more better players you have on the team, the better your team's going to be. And a lot of these guys, their goal is to win the cup. So the more space you have, like right now we're in a little bit of a jam, which is amazing to see. Ottawa spending to the cap, Ottawa trying to make, you know, big moves, and we're really trying to put an amazing product on the ice. It's really encouraging to see, and I think it's firing up the fan base.
Before I get to the ad read, how good is it for the feeling seeing these players sign these long term deals? Because it wasn't too long ago where you can remember the Mark Stones, the Eric Carlsons, all these bigger name players that were not signing long term extensions or just weren't getting the dollars from ownership to be signed to those long term deals and then going elsewhere and signing those types of deals. It has to be a good, not only as, you know, working for the organization, but also as a fan probably of the organization, to see these players getting locked up and being here on decent ticket numbers. You know, like you said, the Sens spending the cap, it's got to be a good feeling around there that this is happening.
Yeah, I mean, it shows, like I said, it shows commitment on the player. It shows commitment on ownership. It shows commitment to the city. Look, these guys are going to be here a very long time. You know, fans are going to be wanting to buy Sanderson jerseys, Stützle jerseys. They're going to want to buy tickets to see these guys play. I think it's just it's a win-win all around. And the vibe in the city is people that I never really heard care about hockey. I mean, there's somebody that I talked to the other day that said that, I haven't cared about the Sens in a long time, and now I've been wanting to turn on the TV and watch the team. And I think you're getting a lot of that around the city, where people are just becoming more interested in the team because of, I guess, the investment that the team is making in the players or in for the fans. I mean, obviously, if you're paying a lot of money to go to a game, you're expecting a pretty good quality product. And I think we're able to deliver that this season with the players that we have on the ice. So I can't say it enough. I think the vibe in the city is just, it's crazy. And I feel like I'm repeating myself from when we had this call last year. I said the same thing, that the vibe is high. But I think this year, I really mean it, that the vibe is high. I mean, we had, I think, was it almost 15,000 people at a preseason game last week. And I'm excited to see what the attendance is like tomorrow. People are really bought in. I think our season ticket base has increased. Our ticket sales have increased. People are just looking to buy tickets. And I think people are going to want to be at the arena this year.
Man, it's such a cool thing. And I've always told you, we've talked many, many times now over the years, I like it when both Toronto and Ottawa are in good positions to do good things for the season, because it makes the Battle of Ontario that much more juicy. And, you know, it's no longer a nothingness game in November, or, you know, a meaningless game in February, where if the Leafs lose, oh, well, they lost. You know, Senators fans, go enjoy your day. You know, now it could mean something serious in the standings. And we'll get into our ad read and we'll come back on the other side and talk about some expectations for the Senators here. But we are a part of the Hockey Podcast Network, and they are partnered up with DraftKings, and DraftKings is very excited for the NFL to be back. And they're telling new customers, you can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Throw down $5 on any of this week's epic matchups and walk away an instant winner. Football's more fun when you're in on the action. So download the app now, sign up with the code THPN. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Use the code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for your problem gambling. Call 888-789-777 or visit ccp.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, KS licensed partner, Golden Nugget, Lake Charles, LA, 21 plus. Age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/football for terms and eligibility, terms and responsible gaming resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. So get out there, use the THPN code for our friends at DraftKings and get in on the action and spend it, you know, talking about the action, the Ottawa Senators.
Go Bills.
There you go. Yeah, my wife is a big Chiefs fan, and she likes to say, I was a Chiefs fan before Taylor Swift. She was a Travis Kelce fan, and now... Now she gets to watch Taylor Swift ride off into the sunset with Travis Kelce. But yeah, I want to know about you, the expectations for the Ottawa Senators this season in that market right now with the moves they've made, the goaltending, the defense, the young players definitely taking the proper steps. Is the expectation playoffs this season? And if they don't make it, does it make the season a bit of a failure?
Coming in hard with the questions.
Listen, this is the Battle of Ontario. It's Mr. Confident over here saying, oh, I know the Leafs are going to make it. It's just what they do in the playoffs. Now I'm asking you, I want to see the Sens get there. And I'll tell you this. I've said this a few times now. I want the Battle of Ontario round one. I want that. I want
the early 2000s playoff matchup right there, except going the other way.
The Leafs brought in all the guys to make that stuff happen. It could be real Donnybrooks.
Oh. Man, what are the expectations? It depends. Am I speaking on I'm a fan, so I'm going to say I think our expectations are let's make the playoffs, and I think it's time that we do that. I think we have the roster to do it. I think the team has the confidence to do it. Is it a failure if we don't make the playoffs? I don't think so, because you know everyone else has us as a borderline playoff team. And I think we're still, you know, finishing up. I guess the rebuild was over, but we're still trying to put the puzzle pieces together. I think we have the right puzzle pieces. And I think as long as we're playing, you know, and compared to the Blue Jays right now, the Blue Jays, every game right now is a playoff game. And I got the game on in the background, and, you know, 6-0 lead right now is pretty good. But all these games are super meaningful games. And I think the fans want to see hockey that means something, especially in the, you know, in the February, the Marches, the Aprils, near the end of the season. Playoff hockey would be amazing. I think we're all ready. I think we're all excited. And I think we have the product on the ice. And I don't think it's a failure if we don't, but I think we just got to keep getting better. If we beat last year's record, then I think that's a success. But again, you know, a lot of teams, it's tough to tell. Anyone can make the playoffs. Anyone can make the cup. Look at St. Louis when they won the cup. Everyone counted them out. Look at Montreal during the COVID season where they came out of nowhere and made the cup finals. I think if you get to the dance, then you're good. But it's getting there. You know, every team can look at Tampa Bay with Vasilevskiy. You lose your number one goalie. Guys got to step up. You know, we could lose, you know, big players and injuries, and then it's time for everyone else to step up, next man up mentality. So I don't think you can predict. I think everybody that predicts teams that make the playoffs is just clickbait almost. It's like, oh, these guys are a top five team. Well, how do you know if a team's a top five team? Just you don't. You don't know until you start playing, until you start getting to, I would say, January, but not even, because St. Louis was last.
So. Well, it's 100%. I mean, there's been a couple instances. I mean, you've seen teams lock in their spot pretty early, you know, past couple of years. You know, it's been, you see it like with Florida, or you see it with Boston. You know, they're locked in, and then the second place starts to lock in, and third place.
I just don't even think that's the case right now. Like,
that's what I was about to say for the Atlantic this year.
Yeah.
It is the most jump ball it's been, because with Boston's retirements and the fact they traded away Taylor Hall. And just the overturn there, it's going to be different. No matter what anyone says, you know, everybody's like, oh, it's still Boston. Their D is still good. Their goaltending is still good. Yeah, but the forward group is different. When you lose the caliber player Patrice Bergeron, that hurts you. David Krejci, that still hurts you. Those are two number ones, or your number one, number two center down the middle. Then you go over to Tampa Bay. They've lost all their bottom six depth. Killorn's gone. The Palats are gone. All these guys are gone now that you see. Ross
Kozlowski's on the shelf for the next 10 weeks.
Stamkos
is, you know, but they're getting older. Their core is getting older. You know, I think our division is almost comparable to the AL East of the baseball, where I think anyone can win this division this year, and I think anyone can make it in the division. And I think on any given night, look, Buffalo has improved this year. They're going to be up there. People have
Detroit.
You know, people have Buffalo finishing ahead of us, which I find interesting. But like I said earlier, it's anyone's game. Anyone can finish anywhere. Detroit's got a good team. Buffalo, us, like it's you name them all, and I think anybody can win. This is going to be a tough division. I think every game this year within the division is going to be super important.
I think the only team you can really count on this season being anywhere is the Montreal Canadiens, probably finishing last in the Atlantic.
Maybe we can.
That's one thing I think Montreal, we can say is probably the. And I'm not saying that as a hater of Montreal. I don't see the goaltending.
They're in the beginning of a rebuild.
Yeah,
they have some pretty good players too, and I think they'll upset some teams. It depends which team shows up, but I'm a firm believer. I don't ever like to predict where people are gonna or where teams are gonna end or finish, because it's just not fair. You can't. Anybody can get hot. You can have a goalie that just becomes a brick wall and doesn't let anything.
Hello, Hamburglar.
Yeah. Well, when we won exactly, but making the playoffs that year when Hamburglar won like 20 games. It's crazy. And like I said earlier, Montreal making the cup final, no one had them even making the playoffs, and let alone, I compare it to the AL East, look, Baltimore, nobody thought Baltimore would make it anywhere. And now they're winning the division. So it's sports. Sports is great. I think as a sports fan in general, no matter what the sport, it's great. Anything can happen. You can never predict anything. And it's just amazing to watch.
No, it's the fun part about it, right? I mean, everybody puts out their predictions. Everybody puts out their things, and it is clickbaity. It's just to give your opinion, and that's basically what it is. And then you go back in probably 3 months when the season's about halfway through, and you see how right or wrong you are. I mean, we've done that a few times, me and you, and look back and be like, oh, okay, we were out of, I mean, last year, I was doing the Detroit dance saying that they were going to make the playoffs. And I literally made a bet on this show with Pete. And I said, I will do one of those TikTok dances if Detroit doesn't make it. And I had to dance. So, you know, it has to happen. But this year, I don't know. Everybody's so high on the Florida Panthers. I really think that's a team that's going to take a step back, in my opinion. I really do.
I would agree with you. Honestly, I think Florida and Boston are the two teams that are going to take a step back. And I think you know what? Tampa Bay as well. They lost their number one goalie. I mean, Vasilevsky is arguably the best goalie in the world. Losing that goalie is that's a huge loss for that team. And 10 weeks, you know, he's out. They say 8 to 10 weeks, but I mean, he had back surgery. How do you come back from that in 8 to 10 weeks?
Between the years is going to be the thing, right? Like so many guys come back from injuries, and it takes them a while to trust their body.
Yeah. Is this the same type of back injury that Mark Stone had? Look, you know, it's we don't know. I mean, nobody's a doctor, but I think Tampa Bay, Boston, and Florida are taking a step back. Ottawa, Buffalo, and Detroit are taking a step forward. You know, Toronto's Toronto. Toronto on paper is a good team. What I worry about Toronto, they have, you know, their top players are their top players, but they make all the money, and then there's not much after that. So that's where if your top players perform, then you got arguably three or four superstars on the team. But hockey's a team sport, right? So
no, it is. Well, let's talk about that. The Sens take two from the Maple Leafs. Obviously, jubilation in Sens Nation, because the DMs and the excitement I got from talking with you is great, because you were on the nice end of things. So many people telling me that the Leafs are done. Time to blow it up. The Sens are coming. Don't even worry about Matthews or Nylander or Marner. It's over. The window's closed after two preseason games. I mean, go at it. Have fun. I get it. It's exciting because, you know, like we said just a few moments ago, there hasn't been years of excitement to this level. where the money's being spent, the players are being brought in, guys are on long-term deals. You know, there's a lot of excitement. But what did you see in those two games that really got you fired up, other than the ones I messaged you about Timmy Stew, because those were nice goals?
Hey, like I said, maybe I'm a nice guy, I like to think, and beating Toronto, it's beating Toronto. I think it's fun. It's fun to poke fun, and it's fun to just see the vibes and the buzz around the city when you beat Toronto. But you can't look into preseason. I mean, preseason's preseason. The one game that we played in Ottawa, there were some people on Twitter, the game that Toronto played in Ottawa, the first game.
Yeah.
People were losing their mind because we played our full first line. But I mean, in the preseason, the home team usually plays their better players. And then the road, when you're on the road, you usually bring your, you know, second line and whatnot. Then the next night, the same thing happens in Toronto. They're playing their first line, and we brought our per se B team. There's no A, B, C really. It's just a mixture of players. I mean, we brought not our first line to Toronto, and we still win. But it doesn't mean anything. Like, it's fun to say that we beat Toronto, but you can't look into it. You got different goalies playing. I don't know if Joseph Wall is going to be number one or not. I don't even know. Samsonov
would be one. Wall would be two.
Yeah. But, you know, he played well, and it all depends on what actual lineups. Everybody has a good top line, but it's how do you follow up with your second, third, and fourth line, and then your depth players, your depth scoring. You know, Toronto, you can rely on the Matthews and Nylander, the Tavares and the Marners to score, but you also need a second, you need a third, you need a fourth line. I mean, we got some goals out of our fourth line last year. We got some goals out of really all the lines, and I think that's the best thing, is if you have the depth scoring, that's the kind of the key to success. But like I said, I had fun, you know, texting you about the Leafs, but I mean, it's all gravy. It doesn't matter. We'll see when the season really starts, that's when it's going to count. And if we beat Toronto, of course, but you better expect a text from me, and I will expect a text from you as well.
Oh yeah.
Thing about sports, but as long as you're respectful with fan bases, it's, you know, you see some of the things on Twitter where people are going at each other and making, like, borderline harassing each other. Oh, that's inappropriate.
That's all. Just keep it nice. Have fun. Poke at each other, but don't beat each other with a stick for no reason.
Two nights, I'll still make fun of you a little bit. It was fun.
Hey, listen, it's no problem on this end. You know that. I quietly cheer for the Sens to make the playoffs the past few years. I've said it. I thought they were going to, so I'll say it again for this season. I will ask you, though, you're talking about the Maple Leafs and, you know, the big guys getting it done. It does seem there was more of an emphasis this offseason put on the fact of balancing out this roster throughout, though, bringing in guys like Domi and Bertuzzi. We have Knies. We have Robertson, Kaliar-Croak. Go down the roster now. There is the ability to have depth scoring, and they are trying to do the Matthews, Nylander, Tavares down the middle and then flank them with decent wingers, which we have. So that could definitely help this squad. But I want to ask you, just from the outside perspective, the players they did bring in were a lot more guys with snarl and piss and vinegar than they usually bring in. You know, look at the Bertuzzis, the Domis, the Reed.
Yeah, the Reed,
you know. And even McCabe, who was a deadline acquisition last year, but it'll be a full season of him, and he's not a timid defenseman by any means. I'm wondering for you, does this give a new look to this team and finally maybe give some of the guys who needed the flies to be kept off them last year feel a little bit better? Because I believe, and I've said it many, many times, and I'll say it many times more throughout the season, I think Austin Matthews asked Brad Treliving to find him some guys to keep those flies off and to keep, you know, just some of the rats that get after Matthew. You look at Dylan Cousins last year, just guys that were really going after him and, you know, just stick working him and stuff. You know, he probably wanted someone there to pick up for him. Bunting tried, but Bunting was just Bunting, and it really wasn't effective when he did try to get in those tussles. But now they have guys that really can stare down the opposing guys who do those things. And one guy in Ryan Reeves that really can make some guys be shrinking violets when it comes to that fisticuff stuff.
I think anyone would want Ryan Reeves on the team. But honestly, before I say anything, just as a hockey fan in general, how cool is it to see another Domi and a McCabe and these names that, you know, I certainly kind of grew up seeing.
The Battle of Ontario.
It's I'm a little disappointed that Domi didn't pick number 28.
Lafferty has it.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I feel like Lafferty probably would have given it up.
Should have given it up.
Should have given it up for sure. I mean, Domi in Toronto not wearing 28 seems really weird. But anyway, sidebar aside, I think the Leafs have certainly toughened up. And a lot of people, I think, said that the Leafs were, you know, pushovers or not tough, or they couldn't make it far in the playoffs because playoffs is physical. And they addressed that with Bertuzzi and Reeves and Domi. And Domi's, you know, I'm not going to say he's like his father. His father was obviously a gritty player, you know, tough guy. But Domi's got a lot of skill to him as well. And he also has that tough side. Reeves is just
side.
Yeah. And Reeves is Reeves. I think having him in the dressing room, on the ice, firing the guys up all the time, I think he's going to make a big impact on the team. And he'll be the first guy to jump in if ever Leafs need somebody to stick up. Tyler Bertuzzi also, he's got some skill, some size, some grit. I think they're definitely grease. Players that, what's that?
He's got a lot of grease too. Those little greasy things that he does. He doesn't get caught, but it pisses the other team off.
Yeah. You know, kind of like a Sean Avery type player.
Yeah. Well, but when he took who was it? I think it was the Florida player's stick or whatever. Yeah, took it from him and tried to break it.
I feel like that's the kind of player that I would have been. You can get a lot. You can get away with a lot more in a three-man ref system than you can in a four-man, because obviously there's guys all around the ice. But I mean, when I played hockey growing up, there wasn't a four-man system, and I was kind of that little pest that did everything. But my dad always said to be on the game sheet, and I always found a way to get on the game sheet. Most of the time, it was a penalty. But anyways,
then the from the ledger, that's all that matters.
Exactly. Yeah, he never specified how I had to get on the game sheet. No, I think the Leafs have certainly improved their toughness. I don't know about depth scoring, if they have enough of that, if they have a third and a fourth line that can really score. To be fair, to be very honest, I haven't really looked at the Leafs roster all that much. I think definitely size-wise they've improved, but I'll see how it transfers onto the ice.
Yeah, I really like the way the Leafs have put things together. And, I mean, we talk a lot about the Senators trying to find the puzzle pieces, and that's what the Leafs have been trying to do now. You know, they know how to make the dance, but now you need to, you know, keep dancing well into the song. And last year they got a taste of it and were out pretty quick. And it was because of the physicality that they were out. They were outmatched every single step of the way. So if some of these guys can come through and make some noise, it'll definitely help this Toronto team. And I like the fact that they went out and got a Klingberg as well. Just a guy who can move the puck and really help the Leafs transition out of their own zone, which was something they had trouble with last year, especially when Morgan Rielly was struggling. So now you have
That was a great pickup. I was pretty jealous when Toronto got Klingberg. I thought you would have been a great addition to the Sens. But
the fallback plan for him too. Connor Timmins looking great in the preseason. If I told you there was a Connor leading the preseason in scoring, you would say McDavid, but it's actually Connor Timmins.
I was thinking the first guy I thought of was Connor Brown, honestly.
What a steal for the freaking Edmonton Oilers, man. I wanted him back to the Leafs.
You know, I hope that Connor Brown and Connor McDavid can just reproduce what they did in junior hockey together. As a hockey fan in general, you know, Connor Brown has been that serviceable player in the league, but having him on a line with Connor McDavid can reignite their juices from junior hockey. That would be unreal as a fan to watch.
Oh, it'd be absolutely amazing. And be good for Connor Brown, right? He's had a bad year last year with injuries and things like that. Imagine a rebound. You know, you wake up to your next season, your line mate's Connor McDavid, and you're putting up, you know, just per se 75 to 80 points just because you're on his wing and know his tendencies and how to play with him. That's a team.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun to watch. But
and anybody would want Connor Brown on their team. He's just, you know, an amazing guy, an amazing player. But yeah, I can't wait to watch those two play.
I'm looking at his rookie card right here on the wall. It's right there, Connor Brown's young gun. So, no, I'm a big fan of his, and I loved him when he was in Toronto. It's sad to see him have to go because he's definitely that we talk about bottom six scoring and a guy who can also move up in your lineup if you need him to as well. He's just that utility player the Leafs have been chasing. They used Kerfoot last year with Yarncroak. So, you know, they are looking for a Connor Brown, and you won't replicate what he was able to bring, especially with a little bit more. He wasn't nasty, but he just had a little bit of grit to him, right? Yeah. He wasn't going to be a pushover, and I love that about him. Well, the last thing I want to talk to you about, obviously, we talked about the division. It's a tough division. I want to just get your last thoughts here. For you, Sens in, because I got the Sens in. I didn't before, but I seeing what I see now.
I'm going to say, yeah, if I have to choose yes or no, I'm going to go with yes.
Okay. Sens, for me, Sens and Leafs are in. The third place team for me, I know we told about predictions, but I think if you look at who's going to be sitting in third there, I'm going to go Detroit, and then I'm going to go Buffalo, and then I'm going to say the other two, or the other three teams that have been perennial in the mixers, I think they're going to be looking out. They're not going to be in there.
Yeah.
I don't know. It feels like it's going to be the season where things change.
I feel like again, I'm contradicting myself because I said I don't like the predictions. But I feel it's still fun to do. I don't know if both Detroit and Buffalo will make it. I have a hard time, you know. Boston is Boston. And yes, they've lost key pieces, but I mean, they're still Boston. I think everyone automatically expects Boston to make the playoffs every year. It's such a tough division. I really wish we would go back to the 1-8, you know, that's, I love that. And I've been saying the same about baseball. Sorry, I'm a huge baseball fan too. And watching baseball now, it's just, you have the Minnesota Twins in one division who are the division champions, but they have a worse record than a team in the AL East that's not going to make the playoffs.
I hate that.
Not AL East. It would be the AL West. So I think Seattle could possibly not make the playoffs, but they have a better record than the Twins. To me, that's crazy.
I think best record should win out.
I don't even know. I'd be curious to see what a 1v16 would be, but I think the travel and whatnot that's too crazy. But
that is something we talked about before. It would be really fun though, even just for a season, just to see
what it's kind of like. You know what? I kind of liked the way that the divisions were made in the COVID season, where, you know, the North Division, I got to see Connor McDavid play like 9 times.
How cool was that?
The North Division was unreal. And then, you know, seeing the rivalry, Toronto, Montreal play, you know, 8 or 9 times together, it was a lot of fun. It'd be cool to see if we would go back to a Canadian division for just a regular season and a normal season. I wonder if that would generate buzz. I think having Connor McDavid in your building 8 or 5 times or possibly 5 times a year would be unreal. But I do like the way the schedule is, where you get to see every team. You know, every player will come to your building. People are going to be lined up to see Connor Bedard play when they come. People are still lined up to see Crosby. People are still lined up to see McDavid. I think that it's really good for the game, but just as a fan, I really loved that the North Division a few years ago.
Oh man, the Canadian Division, the All Canadian Division was the best. I just liked it. Right. It was more
the
fun.
North Division, but I guess it was called the Canadian Division, right? I got it mixed up because we had Belleville play in our arena too, and the AHL was called the North Division.
Okay.
So I did all the Belleville games that year too.
How fun was it though, right? Like I watched that whole Canadian Division. But could I tell you very much that happened outside of that? I was so hyper-focused on every Canadian team because they were all playing each other. And nothing else. I was like, oh, really? That happened, did it? Oh, I didn't know that. No, I'm just focused on these 7 teams right here. That's it.
So, like, of course, the way that it is now is obviously better for for just the general hockey and creating a buzz around the league.
Let me ask you this one. They want to put another team in Atlanta. It looks like that's where they're leaning towards. If it were up to John, what would John do? Would you put another team in Atlanta? Would you bring another team back to Canada? Or would you put it in Salt Lake City, somewhere else that's really looking for a team as well? I just think that you had the Atlanta Flames. You had the Atlanta Thrasher.
No, I think you don't get a third chance for – personally. I don't think I wouldn't put another team in Atlanta. I mean, I'm going to say what every other, I can't say every other, but what a lot of other Canadians will say is I'd like to see a team in Quebec. You know, they've shown yeah. that they can support a junior hockey team. They regularly have, you know, 13,000 people at a junior hockey game. And I don't know if you've had the chance to go to that arena, but it is unbelievable. I got a tour of the arena a few years ago, and it's beautiful, beautiful arena. The fans in Quebec, I think, deserve a team. Just look at, you know, their independent league, their baseball team. They just won back-to-back championships.
Yeah.
They sell out their stadium for 4,500 people on a game basis. People are excited. The junior team, they just won the Memorial Cup. I'm pretty sure it was a Memorial Cup or not. Yeah, it was a Memorial Cup.
It was a Memorial Cup, yeah.
Yeah. They just won the Cup. Quebec's a winning city. Maybe I'm a little biased because my family's from Quebec City, so I do have a little heart for Quebec. But I think, you know, they have an NHL-ready arena. They have an ownership that wants a team. They have the fans that are willing to commit. Of course, the issue is it's always going to be the dollar, you know, how the economy works. But I look at all the other teams in Canada are able to do it. I think Quebec is similar to an Ottawa in terms of maybe not the same market size, or maybe Quebec, when you can compare it to Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Whereas there's a lot of corporations in Quebec that can buy those season tickets, you know, Videotron or Quebecor and Desjardins, and there's a lot of big companies that can support the team on a corporate side. Things that Ottawa may not have as much, because as a government city, obviously the biggest employer is a government and they can't buy tickets. But and just on another note, there's a lot of corporate sponsors in Ottawa that are coming back this year. And I think to answer your question, sorry to keep blabbing on, but
no, go.
I think Quebec deserves a team. The infrastructure is there. They could have a team play tomorrow and they'd be there. They have, I mean, their television network owns the Videotron Center. You know, like, it's just Videotron is the big telecommunications partner.
It's a turnkey operation is what it is.
They could start tomorrow and everything's there.
Well, we don't know what's going to happen with Arizona. Maybe that's what goes to Atlanta. Maybe you get your expansion in Salt Lake and you get your expansion in Quebec. Maybe that's what happened.
I think they'd have to do two in the East right now, right?
Well, yeah, I guess you would.
Unless you can move like Columbus, or, you know, you can move a team back to the other division. But
which conferences? Well, you know, make it happen. But no, I really do think that Quebec deserves a team. I don't think that you should go back to a market that has already had two swings of the bat. I mean, if you're going to move somebody, I guess maybe move the Coyotes there if things don't work out with an arena plan, which it just does not ever seem to work out, no matter what they want.
They could have put the Coyotes in Quebec, played there, see how that goes, so you can kind of test out the waters if Quebec is going to work in terms of a market while you build. If you want to keep the team in Arizona, great, but while you're building a new arena, maybe, I don't know, obviously it doesn't work that way. Just
take advantage of the arena that's already built and make some money off the ticket sales and split it.
Like at one point, they're saying again in baseball, they wanted to split the season in Tampa Bay and Montreal with the Rays. Like that's an absurd idea. But
still would have been fun for us. It would have been amazing.
Yeah, I would have been at so many games. I mean, it's a lot closer than going to Toronto.
Jesus, no, that would have been a great time. And that. Now they got their own stadium being built there, so that's not going to happen. So that idea is now shut. But, yeah, there's a lot of things that should be coming back this way, and we'll figure it out. But I want to say this, midway through the season, I want to get you back on. Obviously, we'll be chirping each other throughout. But I want to appreciate you. I want to say, man, I appreciate you. You're always willing to come on, always willing to talk and have some fun. You're very open and honest, man. I appreciate it very much.
My pleasure, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, you know what this show is right here. It's Offside Hockey Talk, when the Maple Leafs and sometimes the Senators come to talk.